All right, welcome back to The Language of Behavior. And for those who are watching on YouTube, we got a brand new intro video for you because we're trying to class it up around here, Charlie. I don't know if you are, but we're going to make this a whole experience for folks here on episode 29. But with that, thank you for joining me once again for this weekly episode. And I just wanted to say how much it's been a joy and a pleasure to continue to work with you. Me and you just got done with the online virtual leadership summit that the Teach Better team was working on and had for a three-day event. And yeah, it was just so much fun to jump on there with you and get to present once again.
I know, I'm excited because we have so much that we're going to be doing together, which is awesome. And then I don't know if you recognized it, but to be up there on kind of the virtual stage with all of those awesome speakers, it's just such a joy to do that. And then I just feel so grateful to be able to.
For sure. Yeah, I'm grateful too. I don't know if I've mentioned on this podcast, but I'm going to be speaking with my good friend Mitch Weathers out in California once again. We're going to be in California, but I think like a week later, I'm coming back because I can't get enough of Anaheim, California. But with Kim Gamrose, she's brilliant. If you checked out her podcast, Becoming the Bison, she's phenomenal. And she's got a brand new event called Vibe EDU. So we'll make sure that the link is in the show notes. But obviously, we're going to be speaking about the language of behavior. I'm going to have books on hand. I'm going to be handing them out to a bunch of participants and super excited for just that community that she's growing out there that is just passionate about their students, about trying to change the current construct. And this is what she's calling an unconference. So it's going to be a little bit different than what you would typically get at your regular conference. So super excited for that and can't wait to get back out to California.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people like the change up, so that's good. So you're busy speaking.
We're making it happen here, Charlie. I mean, this is what we do, right? I mean, we're continuously looking to help schools. And you were talking about that appreciation of being a part of that Teach Better event and being with such amazing speakers. And I feel the exact same way. And I know you do too, as far as being able to travel and work with these school districts and these conferences to try to make sure that we're getting our message out. And so, yeah, I feel very honored by that. Also, feel that way in regards to the listeners. I don't know if you saw, Charlie, but every month so far for this podcast, we've seen an uptick. So thank you all for sharing this podcast out to folks and getting the word out that this podcast even exists and that we're trying to share some strategies and help folks. And we just really appreciate the input and the questions that we receive. So Charlie, if you're ready, we can kick off this week with the question that we received online.
Yep, go for it. Let's do it.
Okay. This is actually interesting. This is more about staff. So excited to get your take on this. So the question is, how does school culture contribute to behavioral issues among staff? I mean, typically we're talking about the students, but now for this episode, we're going to be able to talk about the adults.
Well, and you and I are really good about sneaking information in about the adults because, you know, it matters.
It does matter.
We all know. It always comes back to us. It really does. But I love this because anybody who's, well, been in these two scenarios. So you either walk into a building and you just feel the connection, the excitement, the positive energy among people there. Sometimes they have like an extra kick to their step or they're making eye contact and they just feel like they want to be there. And then there are other times or other environments where you walk into the school and or the organization and you feel the tension in the air. I mean, my goodness, you can just tell. You can tell. And I've worked in both environments. And so I'm sure you have too. Many people listening, I'm sure you have too. And so we're talking about how school culture contributes to staff behavioral issues. Well, you better believe that's a big part of it. So how we feel connected together, how we feel valued, how we feel like we have somewhere to go, someone to see if we're struggling, like all of that matters. There's so much to that. So that's that toxic leadership or poor communication or not regarding that mental health is there and available, like support-wise is there and available for adults as well. But also, I will say this too, Josh, and this probably resonates big time with you too. A lot of people are sick and tired of hearing about mental health support because it's either not helping or because it's not being utilized, or it feels like it's overused and then people still don't address the problem. It's kind of like what we did with students. It's kind of like what we said, oh my gosh, well, we're acknowledging that anxiety is a problem. So let's be a lot more careful with them. And so if they have a presentation, maybe they don't have to do the presentation. Maybe we can give them alternatives. Instead of leaning into the discomfort, teaching them skills, giving them a little healthy nudge and showing them the way through. And so I'm thinking that happens with staff. And so some people think, oh my gosh, now people just talk about their mental health, and now they use it as an escape plan. So all of that is part of culture when I think about it. What about you?
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind is a phrase that my dad would say often that drove me insane. And it was, do what I say, don't do what I do. And I feel like leaders lead often in this, especially with mental health, is like they essentially get themselves burnt out because they work insane hours. They don't leave the campus. They are constantly on their email and sending emails well into the night. And, you know, all these things that are, we know are unhealthy, but then they tell their staff to do something completely different, right? Take time for themselves and don't check email and don't work late hours. And, you know, all these different things that they don't model themselves. And so it's conflict. And so then teachers are like, well, I know they said this, but obviously, you know, our administrators send these emails or making phone calls late or doing whatever. I need to do that too, because that's what is expected. Obviously it's expected by their actions. So I need to follow suit. And if I don't, then I start feeling guilty or maybe feel like I'm not stepping up to where I need to be. And so I think that's where some of that falls short, is that they're saying all the right things. However, they're not modeling the appropriate things for mental health, in addition to the fact that they're not giving space for it. I know a lot of teachers that have expressed that to Charlie and I, is in regards to like, yeah, they talk about mental health and we do, you know, yoga after school, or they teach us how to do it, but then they never give us the actual time. And so then they're expected to do that at home, which we all know with families, that's downright factually impossible. So that if you're not giving that space built into the workday, then most likely that's not going to happen at all. And I think that's where you're getting that like push-pull piece where folks are extremely frustrated because they're being told they need to do these things, but at the same point, they really don't have the time to do it.
Yeah. And that's why we have to sneak it into our daily practice. We have to integrate it. We have to integrate it into every single program that we've invested our time and energy into. We have to use those strategies in those systems already. That's the only way we're actually going to utilize it. But also giving that permission is important, but they have, like, leaders can only give permission if they think it's going to help student learning and performance. Of course, it has to go back to that. But we also know that that school culture and climate is extremely important. So when I notice, this is where I notice the biggest like fractured system of staff, it's when there's an absence of the collaboration. So we often need that time. And so one of the things that we can do best is give people time to talk, give people time to share resources, give time for teachers to plan together, for the mental health team to come together. That's one of the things I love that you and I are doing, Josh, is that we're creating cohorts, those teams that can come together, and we're not only working with them to help solve problems and customize a solution for what's going on in their building, but then those in-class observations or even in-office observations to give that feedback. Because that collaboration, whether it's with us or eventually we want them to be more autonomous, is that collaboration, but they have to have the time built in for it.
No, it's so true. And that mental health team is, it's vital. I mean, we had talked about this yesterday, actually, on that virtual summit, of just how important it is to make sure that everyone that comes in the building, as far as our staff, feels valued, that they have a place, that they belong. And I mean, without that team, a lot of times the most important stuff to make sure that we're retaining our teachers and allow them to understand how important they are to the system falls to the wayside. So that team not only is there for the students, but most importantly, it's there for the staff, because obviously our staff needs to make sure that, you know, that they feel like they're contributing in a valuable way, and that they're, you know, like I said, a vital piece to the core of the team. And so that's the piece that I love, is that it's got its hands in community, with parents, with the students, with teachers, really all of that is incumbent to the school culture that you're looking for.
Yeah. And one of the strategies that I always use when working with teams is, or even just individuals, a lot of teachers who are just struggling. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm just so frustrated. Well, okay, identify your dream team. And we actually do workshopping around it, where they identify somebody who's going to make them laugh, identify somebody who they know they can go to about this one thing, and know who they can go to about this other thing. And so we actually outline that and look, like, we name them, put the location down, and then identify what we're going to get out of it from that person. It's super important. And if we don't do it, then when the time comes, we don't really know where to go. But I always knew in my classroom, when Steiner came in, she was across, she knows if she's listening to this, but she was right across the hall. So I knew if I needed to just break tension, I needed a laugh, I was frustrated, whatever, I would go right over there. She just would make me laugh. I just knew she could. So like that. But also what it does is identifies the different people in the building, and it builds that camaraderie, and you know who your people are. You can't have everybody as your people. It doesn't really work that way. But I also think that we need to jump outside of our departments. I mean, our department was really tight, but there were also other people in different departments throughout the whole building who were on my dream team. So if you all have nothing else to do, just start with identifying the dream team at your August PD or PD in the fall, because it is something that gives people time and space to connect in ways they didn't think they could.
Yeah. And as an administrator, I did relationship walks. I can't remember if I've talked about it on this podcast or not, but it's just like that intentional time to get out of my office and really just pour into my staff and just get to know who they are. I mean, there's so many times that I found something out that they would have never disclosed if I didn't actually take the time to say, like, I care about you. I want to know what's going on in your world. And it never took very much time, because as we all know, for our school leaders, they don't have a lot of time. And so my radio was constantly going off for me to go to various places throughout the school throughout the day. And so for me, even if I could do that for like 3 to 5 minutes, I mean, that helped my mental health. I know it helped the mental health of the folks that I worked with, because they knew I didn't have to be there to ask them how their day was going, or how I could support them, or is there any resources they need to help them in the classroom. So even just taking a short span of time just to get to know their folks a little bit better, I think that makes a huge difference as far as school culture.
It does. It does. And it made me think about professional learning communities.
Yeah.
Right. And so this, you'll need to chime in here, because this is the admin view that I don't have, is choice for professional development. And like, if there's a teacher or a support staff, somebody in the building who says, or even school counselor, you know, part of that team who wants to do more growth in a certain area. I mean, I feel like there's ways we just got to do that. If they need it and they want it, we've got to find a way to do that for them. But I know that there's barriers to that. But around that PLC is letting them guide what they want to learn. I see it so many times. I hear about it, I should say, more so, but that it's enforced. Like it's put upon them what they need to learn. If it's not guided by them and what they want to learn together, then I think that that's such a barrier. But and even with a coach, sometimes I see principals hiring coaches for PLCs, mm-hmm. and those collaborative teams to work directly with the team. But what are the barriers, and how do you overcome something like that so that they feel heard?
Yeah, for sure. Well, one is just giving a space for them to be able to voice what it is that they want to learn. Second of all is like what we've talked about in the past is you can't do this work alone. So like our instructional coaches, thankfully we had three of them that, I mean, they were vital and we leaned on them heavily, especially with professional development. But yeah, we would do rotations. We would do signups for folks, and we'd have four different sessions that they could sign up for a PD. I mean, we're so inclined to just default to the monthly staff meeting after school for an hour and a half. Everyone shows up and is sitting in the library as they're getting information. And then after they're done, they're typically frustrated because they're like, this could have been an email, right? We've seen the t-shirts that say that. I mean, it could have been an email. And so that's not helping our school culture. And what we used to do too, is we would try to implement things that would help mental health as far as, you know, what are those connection points? So we would do a relationship circle with them before the meeting would start, or, you know, we do that. And then we break them out to different sessions, or we would, you know, say, here's a list of podcasts, grab your phone, get with a partner, walk around the building while you're listening to this podcast, you know? So, you know, they're getting learning, but they're also getting outside to walk around the space there and be in nature. And, you know, like we got so much good feedback in regards to that, because it's like, yeah, I got to learn, but I also then got my steps in. I got to be outside. I hadn't been outside all day today, you know, and get that fresh air. I think there's ways that we can be creative as far as our leadership to get the information to our staff, but do it in a way that's going to either give them time back, or we're teaching them a mental health strategy, but giving them time to do that. Or we're actually getting their input to say, what do you want to learn? And then finding the resources for them to pick and choose, versus this is mandated. Everyone's going through the same boring training. We're going to do some speaking for an hour and a half, and you're just going to sit there and get it, you know? So I do think there's a lot of different ways that we do it.
Absolutely. And that's it. It's like, how do we all get together? Because that school climate is always about the same kinds of things, that people feel valued, people feel heard, people have time and space to collaborate, to work together, to learn and grow together. And I love that you did that. I love that example of listening to the podcast where they got to walk outside. What a great idea. And those are the kinds of things that we need to creatively start implementing moving forward. Because if we say we need to insert more mental health strategies, we're going to get the eye roll, right? Nobody's going to believe that can be done. So that's a great idea. Things like that can happen.
I'm going to throw up on the banners our websites real quick because I want to make sure that you're getting additional resources from the two of us. So Charlie Peck's website is thrivingeducator.org. If you head over to my website too, joshhammer.com/languagebehavior. On both of our websites, of course, we've got the book and we've got free resources for you. We love getting questions from our listeners. So if you head over to our bit.ly/LOB questions, this link will be in the show notes for you. It's a quick form and you can put your name. You can be anonymous. Doesn't really matter to us. We just love getting to know what's happening on your campus, in your school district, and for us to assist in any way possible. Charlie, I don't know how we end off this fantastic episode 29, but how would you like to close?
I think my last piece here is just have open communication with people and make sure they understand your intention. If you lead with a genuine intention to build trust and rapport among your staff and to support them, if you genuinely lead with that, you can make any mistakes and they'll come on back to you. Just be open about it.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you tuning in this week. And of course, if you need any support, please reach out to Charlie and I and make sure you continue to share this episode and our podcast out with the masses. We appreciate you and look forward to catching up with you next week.
See you guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.